Bringing it back to Memorial Day celebration on your Arizona Weekend Wake-Up Call this morning. We'd like to see all that are listening to Rosie on the House to display your colors at your home this morning. Let's get Old Glory out there flying. We're in the middle of a conversation with history professor from Grand Canyon University, Dr. David Dean. Again, thank you for joining us again. We always appreciate your contributions to the show.
Glad to be here.
In the middle of a conversation about notable Arizona veterans. Started the conversation with not Dr. Frank Luke, but Frank Luke Jr., who we have named the Luke Airfield after.
And as I mentioned, you know, Arizona's, again, served primarily in the 20th century wars because of our newness as a state. One of the other that comes to mind is Lori Paestua, who was killed in 2003 serving in Iraq. The first not only Native American woman to be killed in combat serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, but also the first woman killed in the invasion of Iraq. So we honor her also as part of our story.
I remember the hoopla that we went through transforming the name of Squaw Peak to Paestua Peak, the battles for and against the renaming.
Well, certainly if from what we know about Lori, that's an honor that you know, she probably would have never asked for herself. Her upbringing in the small town of Tuba City, her involvement in Coconino County, growing up in the Hopi Reservation. Her family was World War II veterans. Just a story of humility and whatnot. And that honor, I think, was something that pushed, so to speak, by officials who wanted to make sure her story was never forgotten.
Well, it's a much more inspiring name and landmark now that it represents the kind of person that it did, other than just the generic term that it had had for all those years.
And I think that even in today's conversation, I don't think very many people even know the old name of it anymore or recall it, which is good. I think that just shows how going back to our kind of opening about how history does make a difference in our world, and it is shaped and it's changed and it's altered for its contemporary purposes.
Folks, we're highlighting this particular month in our Arizona staycation brought to you by Sanderson Ford, Cochise County. So I want to take a couple minutes because this has something to do with the Memorial Day celebration. But in wrapping up this month's highlight of Cochise County, we'd like to bring to the forefront two particular men who had very substantial impact on the development of the agriculture and the beef industry within Cochise County, the first being Henry Clay Hooker, who in 1867, he had cattle provision contracts with the military to provide all the beef for Camp Goodwin, Camp Lowell, Camp Crittenden, Bowie, Thomas, Grant, McDowell, Date Creek, Wallapai, Mojave, Whipple, and Picket Post. He had to supply all the beef off of his ranch down there in a beautiful Sulphur Springs Valley just north of Wilcox called the Sierra Bonita. He actually drove at one time when California was suffering from a severe drought in the late 1860s. He drove in 1867, 1868. He drove 3,000 head of cattle to California following the route that was blazed in 1774 by Juan Bautista de Anza, the De Anza Trail that actually leads from Tubac, Arizona to Monterey, California. The Sierra Bonita Ranch is still owned by the Hooker family, owned and operated in beautiful Sulphur Springs Valley of Cochise County. Henry Clay Hooker and the Sierra Bonita Ranch. It's a book by Lynn R. Bailey. Grab it and read it. It gets a little dry towards the second half of the book when it starts talking about cattle herds per acre and cattle heads per acre, but of all the Arizona cattlemen, he certainly had his share of cattle.
Well, by 1891, because of his contributions to the state, Arizona had 1.5 million cattle, head of cattle in our open ranges. And so Hooker was very important, not just to serving the military contracts, but also just developing one of our five C's here of Arizona history.
And he was one of the first cattlemen, as I understand it, who understood the concept of overgrazing and intentionally and purposely limited the number of head per acre on his property.
Yeah, he his work on kind of the open range kind of concept, which of course that always open range versus closed range and barbed wire fences is part of our Great American West story back and forth.
One of the biggest ranches in Arizona, and like I say, still owned by the same family. The other man we'd like to recognize from Cochise County is John Slaughter. And he's a man, Romy, from our original neighborhood in southwest Louisiana, born and bred down there just off the Sabine River. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. If I knew this man today, I know we'd be buddies. In 1871...
Was he the first one to bring crocodiles, alligators to Arizona?
I don't think he's... It's one thing he didn't do, but in 1871, he shot at point-blank range through the upper torso by an Indian who's attempting to steal his horse. In 1884, he purchases land in Cochise County, right at the corner of where Mexico, New Mexico, and Arizona come together, right there just a little bit west of the New Mexico border. He buys some land that was a part of the original Spanish land grant that we acquired in the Gadsden Purchase. It grew to 100,000 acres to span the international border, and everything he had built in the first 3 years that he had the ranch was destroyed in the earthquake of 1887. He had to completely rebuild everything. This is while he was beginning to serve his first of two terms of sheriff of Cochise County. In 1911, the U.S. Army used his property as a base in their attempt to capture Pancho Villa.
He gets a lot of credit for cleaning up the Wild West down there. So he was a very courageous and honest man and kept things in check down there.
He didn't take no foolishness.
He did not.
He was always polite to ask you to put your gun away or leave the premises if you weren't acting correctly. But they say he never asked you twice.
Well, and now you can go visit this ranch. It's owned by the Johnson Foundation. What was their purpose of
it? It's absolutely incredible. It's open to the public, and the John Slaughter's San Bernardino Ranch, currently owned by the Floyd Johnson Foundation, was established for the purpose of acquiring, restoring, and preserving rural ranches, stage stations, and homesteads so that the youth of tomorrow may know what it was like yesterday. Visit them at slaughterranch.com. They're open to the public Wednesdays through Sundays, 9:30 to 3:30. Admission is $5 a carload. The ranch actually pays the local schools to bring school children there. They pay the schools $1.50 per student to put them on a bus and get them to the ranch. I think that's awesome.
That is.
So there's one more opportunity for you to get out and see Arizona. We will be drawing a winner this month for one staycation winner that will get the opportunity to go enjoy Cochise County. Possibly you'll have a desire to stay in one of our Cochise County lodging partners, the Gadsden Inn in Douglas, or the Copper Queen in Bisbee. Check them out, slaughterranch.com.
We'll keep that open until Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll draw for the Cochise County winner.
We'll be announcing the Cochise County winner next weekend. So every Saturday we mention that, we have a drive and see a spike in applications. Go to rosieonthehouse.com. It's the Arizona Staycation that we started in conjunction with Arizona Highways, Arizona Office of Tourism, and Sanderson Ford. In the midst of the past Great Recession, we were trying to encourage people to stay local, shop local, vacation local. The Arizona Staycation brought to you by Rosie on the House and Sanderson Ford. Register at rosieonthehouse.com. Continuing our conversation on Memorial Day celebrations with our distinguished professor from Grand Canyon University, Dr. David Dean. What do we need Arizonans to know about Memorial Day we haven't let them know so far?
Well, one of the things that I think is interesting is that, you know, historically, Memorial Day was celebrated on May 30th, year after year, but that kept moving around. until 1971, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, leave it to the federal government to pass a law to sort this out. But that law actually sorted a number of holidays onto the a Monday. So that way, I guess, to increase the barbecue sales or something. But that set Columbus Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day as Mondays. It, also, Martin Luther King Day was not around at the time, but when it did come around in 1983, it went under that same act. And so it kind of set all those more standardized, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. Busy time for Congress, I guess, that day.
And you were going to fill us in a little bit on what the difference is between the different holidays.
Yeah. What's the important thing that we have to remember about Memorial Day is that Memorial Day honors those who have made that sacrifice in service of our country and have passed in combat or in battle or as part of that service. We honor Veterans Day as for those who have served that are still with us, that are around us, and we honor them. And then we have Armed Services Day, which helps us recognize those that are in uniform serving currently, that we honor them. And so maybe that's buying them a beer and a pat on the back. But we should probably do that with all of our service personnel, active or veteran or whatnot, all the time.
Well, we've talked about two distinguished Arizona veterans who we're trying to raise the visibility on. Frank Luke Jr., killed in World War I as an aviator. Lori Paestoa, the first woman killed in action and the first Native American woman killed in action in the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Of course, we have Pat Tillman. Everybody knows that horrible story. And then I don't know that I'll be able to bring up the last one because I knew his mom, you know, and that's Charles Keating IV, our most recent casualty just within the last 30 days.
Yeah, and even though services for for Keating was held in San Diego, he was a native son here of Phoenix area, grew up in the Arcadia area, and so certainly, again, one of our...
Rosie on the house, you have a question or comment?
Go ahead, Doctor.
I'm sorry, just one of our... Another one of our distinguished Arizonans that serve and give that full measure that we so appreciate this weekend.
It isn't our intent to be a Debbie Downer or drive your sentiments down, but it is our intent this particular session, this particular segment of Rosie on the House, to raise the awareness of that price that people have paid for us to enjoy this great country, the United States of America. And there are people that would argue with you that we're not a perfect nation, and I wouldn't argue with them very long because, no, we are not. But are we probably the most benevolent, productive, free nations that have ever inhabited our little planet Earth?
Well, and I think that understanding kind of that sacrifice that our men and women in uniform make, that when they go in, they know that the risk, they know it's their duty. And so doing that duty helps us convey that message. You know, in the late 90s, a Gallup poll surveyed Americans and found that only about 28% of Americans knew the actual meaning of Memorial Day.
But isn't that what Bill Clinton, he kind of addressed that, didn't he?
He addressed that in the National Moment of Remembrance Act that Congress passed, which set a time at 3 p.m. local time across our country for people to stop, pause, and have a moment of silence and remembrance of Americans fallen and their families. For example, Amtrak train stop, baseball fans paused during that time. NASCAR, Greyhound, the Liberty Bell, all kinds of places will take that moment off. And so we encourage not just that as a personal reflection, but our corporate partners also to think about that too.
I don't know how I missed that memo. I'm so thankful I learned that this week. But you know where I learned that? I learned that in the College Times newspaper, which I was so thrilled to see. I was showing Dr. Dean. There's a whole spread under student life on 11 things you need to know about Memorial Day, and that was one of them. And the other one is that on Memorial Day itself, your flag is to fly half-mast until noon, and then you pull it full.
There you go. Memorial Day celebrations here at Rosie on the House. We'll be right back.